Behind me is Pastor Rich Bailey, and I know you've all been blessed with his messages before, and just his way of presenting and the love of God that just exudes from him, knowing his testimony and the transformation that God did in his life and what God is doing in his life. It's awesome, to be able to watch from, just almost next door to him in the offices. And as we've gone through some life together and different things, I do have to say that I have to make a correction in his bio. I stole that from the website, and it needed to be updated. It's now, 40 years, right, instead of 30 years? Okay, so, he looks younger than he is, but, you can do the numbers. But I'm very grateful that when I asked Rich to close us out this weekend that he accepted it, because I know that it's going to be a great send-off, that God is going to use him and speak through him to each one of you. So open up your ears and eyes to hear and see what it is that God has. And Pastor Rich.
Good morning. When Rob asked me to do this, I jumped at the chance. I want you to know that just like John and Summer and Rob and Jenna, Diane and I were polar opposites. we couldn't have been from different extremes than you can imagine. And the first 8 years of our marriage were a burden, if not a war, because neither of us were saved. Let me just share some of the differences between her home life and mine. If you went into her home, you would have heard the tunes of Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, and Ed Ames. If you entered into my car, you would have heard Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Black Sabbath, Grand Funk. Diane was a farmer's daughter, lived in the same place right straight through, went to the same school district right straight through. I was from a dysfunctional home in which I became like a foster care kid in and out of my biological home, so much so that I went to 8 different schools with 13 different transitions. My senior year was the place where Diane went to school. And so that was my 13th transition, my 8th different school. I walked in with hair longer than Jenna's, and all of the guys of the school had hair shorter than Rob's. I had striped bell bottoms on and sandals and a chip on each shoulder, it was that big of a difference between us, and you'll probably, how did you get together? Well, perseverance. I dedicated my senior year to finding a woman and marrying, because Vietnam was going on. I planned on enlisting as soon as I got out of school and go to Vietnam, and so I wanted to have a moment of marital bliss before Vietnam, just in case I never came back. I'll be honest, and it was a goal of mine. And if I survived that, well, then I'd worry about the future afterwards. So, differences. And you're probably wondering why she married me. That's a very good question. Very good question. In the state of New York at that time, women only had to be 18 years of age and they could marry freely. But guys, even though we could be drafted and go to Vietnam, we had to be 21 in order to marry. And so my parents had to sign for me. My future father-in-law went and begged my parents not to sign for me. That's how close we were and everything else. And my dad looked at Howard, my father-in-law-to-be, and he says, obviously you don't know Rich very well. If you tell him no, he will just put her in the car and they'll go to a state where they can get married. And he's right. I was that rebellious in that way. I would have done that. So starting off a marriage that way isn't very solid ground. Agreed? You know, and they chose here to give me this Genesis passage about being joined to his wife. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. You know, and I want to tell you that when I did get saved and I first began getting, contact with what marriage in Christ was to be versus marriage in the world, I reworded this, the second half of it. To be joined to my wife, becoming one flesh, and we were both naked, man and wife, and not ashamed. Trying to connect the joined to the physical relationship rather than being bonded together. And when God finally woke me up about being bonded together, life began to change for me. And so I will be speaking to the guys more because I'm going to give the practical, what God did in my life to change us from a worldly centered home, now married with three children, to a godly centered home. And like John and Summer and others, real bad habits. I was a bad drinker and everything else that went with that, huge anger issues. Diane was the mild mannered one, and she was the one that, though she did learn along the way how to push my buttons to watch me get mad. I know you wives never do that, but you know, and how to get a different home. I'm just going to share with you our life from salvation on and what God did. Okay? Our Father and our God, thank you again for your goodness to us. Lord, I pray that you would just bless this time, pour out a blessing in our hearts and lives. Might it be practical, might it be useful, might it be encouraging. Father, it is your word. Through the power of your Spirit, I pray that you would work in each heart here for your glory and your glory alone. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I truly believe that couples will only please or love God if they are truly joined together. Throughout Scripture, you have different areas where it says, you know, like 2 Corinthians 5:9, make it your goal. We make it our goal to please God. Or Romans chapter 12, where it would say this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, or pleasing to God, which is our reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and well-pleasing and perfect will of God. Pleasing God in our life. And I am convinced of this. There is not a singular aspect of marriage that falls outside of the realm, do all for the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. There isn't. Our world has convinced us because we're two individuals that here you do your thing, you do your thing. You know, and sex, oh, forget that. That just happens. None of it for the glory of God. And I want you to know all of it, he wonderfully created us in our mother's womb. He created us male and female for that wonderful purpose of marriage. He ordained marriage. He blesses marriage. He finds our worship in marriage honoring and glorifying to him. Mark, and I'd like to start in Mark, and so if you'll turn there, just to read these verses that reminds us of why we're here. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 5, he says this, and Jesus answered and said unto them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote this precept for divorce, and divorce should not be in our, but it is a hardness of a heart. It is always a sin issue in a Christian's life. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Male and female. You know, and for this reason, A man shall leave his father and a mother and be joined to his wife, bonded to his wife, glued to his wife, to where that oneness is visible, is real. It is based around the center of who Christ is in their individual lives. And the two shall become one flesh. And so they shall be no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And I love God's word. By the time you get down to verse 45 in the same chapter, it talks about what Christ did. And I'm going to go back to verse 42. It says, but Jesus called them to himself and he said, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you in your marriages, but whosoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And so whosoever desires to be first shall be slave or servant to all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so there is our example of serving one another, and that God calls us to that within marriage, wanting that to be that bonding, that unifying thing that really glues us together for God's glory. Matter of fact, the theme verse within the Bailey family, when Rich Bailey got saved and stopped chasing idols, and decided this relationship with Christ is important, otherwise, even in Christianity, I could lose my marriage because I was still chasing my idols. The verses that really impacted me are again found in Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 30. Familiar, I'm sure, for all of you, where it says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second shall be like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor, your spouse, as yourself. And there is no other commandment greater than these. Well, Rich Bailey, through the wonders of the moving of the Holy Spirit, realized this needs to be the goal of my life. I want to love God this way. And I knew that it had to start in my thinking, my mind, that Romans 12, you know, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Well, what does that mean? What did it mean for me? So here it is, simple as could be. My focus had to stop being self-fulfilling. My focus had to stop being driving in the world for everything that would fulfill my life, money, vehicles, you know, chasing my idols. I share this in self-confrontation for 3 years after salvation because I went to a church, started serving, started worshiping, just saved, wet behind the ears, babe in Christ, and they had a blow up. And in the midst of that blow up, they had a softball team. I was a good softball player. I heard one of the leaders of the church say, oh, Rich is only coming here to play baseball with us, softball with us. He hadn't even talked to me. He didn't know anything about me. He didn't know I just got saved. I'm only there to play softball. Then the blow up happens. I, as a newborn believer, am standing between a deacon and the pastor. The deacon wants to beat the pastor up. You know, and you're going to have to go through me. And of course, he knew my history, and so he didn't even try. But that hit me hard. Do Christians treat each other this way? And so what did I do? I ran back to the world. I joined a number of softball teams. I played in over 130 games a year for 3 straight years. I pursued my idols. We played a lot of tournaments. We won a lot of money. I had a lot of glory, but I chased that. And my relationship with Christ, my relationship with my family was nothing. But God grabbed my heart and said, Rich, through the power of the Spirit, Galatians 5 kicked me right in the teeth. Are you going to walk in the Spirit? Are you going to live in the Spirit? Are you going to be led by the Spirit? Otherwise, all that junk in the middle, that's going to continue to be you. And so I realized my thinking had to change. Am I going to be intentional in allowing God to build a Christ-centered home? And what is going to be my role in doing that? Will I have the resources for God to work through me and in me so that Ephesians 5:1, I am truly an imitator of Christ as a dear child, where I love my Savior and I want to respond in this world with my wife, with my children, God's way. How was I going to do that? Two words really cropped up real quick. I need to be intentional. I was intentional about being a good ball player. Now I need to be intentional about being a Christ follower. And I needed to be committed or consistent in that pursuit. Intentional every day, committed to the best I can every day, learning what I can about my Savior and about this relationship that God has for me. That meant communication. The first thing I did in my life because of that was, my wife needs to know this is my commitment, and this is my intention, and this is where we're going as a family. So I told her, and she looked at me like, oh yeah, I'll believe that when I see it, because she had seen so much other stuff. But what I did actively to start the transition was every morning I got up, I started this. This was outside my comfort zone. I hadn't prayed out loud or anything like that. I grabbed Diane and I prayed over her probably only about 30 seconds. I said, God bless her, use her today, protect her. I love her, you love her, amen. But I did it, and I consistently and have consistently done that over the last 40 years. Of holding my wife every morning and praying over her briefly. Diane loves the affection part of it. She also likes being prayed for, that God would use her as a mom or whatever, however I prayed it. But a very practical thing, wanting God to be a part of life. And then I was introduced to 2 Peter 1:2-4, and you have some of the things up here, because my mind now needs to be generated towards the things of Christ. 2 Peter 1:2-4 says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertains to life and godliness. Do you believe that? Rich Bailey had to say, I believe that statement from my God. He has given me everything through his word, through his Holy Spirit, through the wonders of salvation that pertains to living life now and living it in a godly manner. God could transform this wretched old man is what I was saying. And I believed it and I took it to heart. With the knowledge on my mind of him, Christ, who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Do I believe that? Do I believe God has given me this wretched man who lived a youth life? Do I believe he still wanted to give me his divine promises, his precious promises, that through those we may be partakers of the divine nature? Oh, imitators of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. One mind, your home has to have one mind. Christ is to be the center of this home and my relationship with my spouse. One mind. There is no other alternative that will glorify God. Oh, you can have a good marriage, but it can be rather shallow. I wanted something that really, really, where our children saw the difference in me. As I said, the first 10 years were bad. I get done with ball, and I have this commitment. And my son, oh, our eldest, he's 12, out of the mouths of boys. I love it. He sees life's changing, and he goes, "Dad, what are you doing?" And I go, "What?" Now, you have to realize, for every softball team I played for, I insisted, if I play for you, my son's going to be our bat boy. I was going to live vicariously through him. I thought I could have been a Major League Baseball player. I was convinced he could. And he could have. He was far better than even me. But I dragged him to every game. And you know what guys do after every game? Where do they run? The bar. So who am I dragging along with me? My son. And I did that. You know, and he looks at me and he goes, "Dad, really? You're the biggest hypocrite I know." Boom. And you know, I had to agree with him. At that point in my life, I was living a life of hypocrisy. And so I needed to be intentional. I needed to be committed to, and I needed to be consistent for this to happen within my family. My first active thing is to pray with my wife, to do that consistently, wanting to have, really believing that my life could change from the inside out, transform from the inside out, and that God has these great, exceedingly precious minds. So my mindset had to change. Maybe some of your homes, your mindset has to change. It's never going to improve, some men, some women might say. He'll never change. Well, don't concentrate on him or her. Concentrate on yourself and your own personal walk with God. Boy, I dove into the epistles, the prison epistles, especially Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And as already been stated, you know, Ephesians is the book. You know, it is. You got three chapters of this and three chapters of that. And, you know, and before you get to the marriage portion down there, you've got be imitators of God. And you also have submitting to each other in fear of the Lord in verse 21, learning how to submit to one another within a family, within a marriage relationship. So if that's going to happen, our heart has to change. You know, that love the Lord with all your mind, intentionality. Love the Lord with all your heart. I mixed it up because of how it worked in me. Heart. Psalm 86:11. Are any of you familiar with Psalm 86:11? It is my life verse, if you will. It is, "Teach me your way, O Lord." Teach me your way. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Three simple phrases. God radically changed my life because I decided that day that I want to be ever tender to the word of God through the power of the Spirit to where I will be moldable, teachable. I'm in my 70s now and I yearn to still, I don't know the book through and through. I want to continue to learn. I am so thankful for a pastor that teaches it faithfully week in and week out, week in and week out, so that I can sit there and be blessed by God's word. Moldable, teachable. First date. I love it. First date, except I'm going to expand. I'm going to recommend that you do two dates a month. Now, you don't have to go to the Cowboy Steakhouse every time. I could never afford that. Here, I'll tell you some of the dates that Diane and I went on for getting away from four kids. Here it was. Oh, we're going to Wendy's and we're going to share a Frosty. And we're going to talk. We're going to McDonald's, and this was before I was diagnosed with celiacs, and we're going to share a large French fries, and we're both going to have water. That was about all I could afford, but those hours sitting there and talking through this verse, teach me your way, O Lord. How can we do that together? What works within our home? What do I have to do? What do we have to do so this becomes intentional living in our lives? What has to change within our home so that we do walk in His truth? And if we don't, what are we going to do about it? How does that work? Now, I want you to know that early on in life, in Christian life, I was up and down, kind of like the Rob trying to write his signature on that straight line. That was my walk. And I had to confess and repent. And for me, when I blew it with the kids or Diane, because I wasn't being intentional, consistent enough, committed enough, and I had asked God to forgive me, I would tell them that. Listen, I know I'm blowing it. I've asked God to forgive me. Will you forgive me? I think adding that little parcel there that I am working on my relationship with God, help them understand how much and how important this marriage, this family was to me and to my Lord, wanting it to bring glory to who He was, and wanting to unite my heart, literally knit my heart to the name of God. So away went Jimi Hendrix and all of those, and now we're replacing everything with Steve Green, John Michael Talbot, Michael Card, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Amy Grant, Sandy Patty, Point of Grace, Avalon, Casting Crowns, 10th Avenue to North. And our house is always filled with music. We don't watch a ton of TV. It changed a little bit in the last 8 years because Diane had an accident, and she has to stay at home. And so I've got the Hallmark Channel. Yay. It's good. It's all good. No, but, so we do watch a little more TV, but we listen to music. You know, somebody asked me if I listen to speaker so-and-so. No, what speaks to me is music. That's my teenage years. It was music. It was garbage, but it was music, and it was loud. Diane hates getting in the car when I come home alone because she knows the radio is going to be up sky high. I still listen to loud music. My son-in-law comes down. First thing he does is walk over and turn down the, because I'm listening to it loud. I love loud music. I tell Billy, have Matt turn it up. It's good for my soul in doing it. So when we start thinking about one love, teach me your way so I can walk in your truth, having that goal of love, what consumes our hearts in our home? The music changed. TV changed. Movies changed. Approaches to our intimacy changed. How we loved our children. I was a critical father, and I had to be an example, and I needed to become an encourager. I needed to come alongside of them to really lift them up in life. Prayer became a key component. Folks, I'm just going to say it. I would dare say 75% of the couples that come into our offices are couples that do not pray together. You've got to change the atmosphere. And I'm not saying that you're those couples, but I'm just telling you how crucial it is for couples to pray out loud over one another concerning the issues of life and the direction of the home. Will our love for Christ be a priority? We decided, Diane and I decided, the mantra of our house is we're going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, what do we want our children to do? We want our children to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. How are they going to do that? Mom and Dad need to be an example of that. Life had to radically change. The arguments had to stop. Our home had to become a place of peace, of joy, a place of fun, a place where we did things together. Her family always ate a meal together. I don't think my family ate 5 meals together in my whole life when I'm in my home. It wasn't that way, you know? And now we had to develop game nights and things like that to where the children were really included. And Dad had to be proactive that even though we're playing a game, somehow I opened up the door to talk about God and His Word and the importance of it. We developed real structure in our children's life. These are the parameters. These are the consequences. And they loved it. Well, my son didn't really, but, you know, it worked. And it worked well, wanting them to understand the love of God, where it was. 2 Peter chapter 1. Those of you who have taken self-confrontation with me, you know that these are some of my favorite verses. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice what it says starting with verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Ah, huge word. Give effort. Extreme effort. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge of our Savior. To knowledge, self-control. Ah, we didn't have that in our home. Self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. You know, that word add in the Koine Greek isn't just a mathematical term. It is very much a musical term, as if you're at a great concert like the New York Philharmonic, and he begins pointing at the string section and this point of the string section and this part of the brass section, this part, the woodwinds, and they're all coming together. Now the percussion instruments are getting, it's building and building and building like William Tell Overture. You know, it's just building. To get to that agape, you and I have to add. And so Diane and I, about 6 months into the transition, I'm looking at this and we are talking seriously. How do we help each other? How am I going to personally commit myself to be taught this so that virtue becomes a part of my life, knowledge of God through His Word, honest self-control, real perseverance, patience, you know, honest godliness, brotherly kindness, and love? How is that going to grow in my life? So that you, Diane, Marie, experience it. God's love through me, in me, through me to you, so that our children can't experience it because I am experiencing it from my God. How are we going to do that? And we built plans. This is how we're going to do it. And we put those plans on our bathroom mirror, on the refrigerator, and especially it really zoomed in on my anger first and foremost. This is Rich Bailey's plan. And my wife is willing to step in to help so that it doesn't happen. But it can be in a plan for anything. And as you continue in that passage, notice what it says. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a promise. If these things become fruitful in my life, I become transformed and growing in them, I grow in my knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who lacks these things, short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. In other words, we go back to just living life. Da-da-da. Half world, half Christ, kind of apathetic, rather than really revealing Christ in us. Verse 10 goes on to say, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Start working harder. Start sweating more. Be committed a little more consistently to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a blessing. That's what God yearns for us in our marriages. How he yearns for us to go. That love, so that John 13, 34, and 35 comes true. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I yearn for Diane and I to be an example to our children in a Christ-centered marriage. I did not know how big of an impact that would have in a church. I hadn't really seen it modeled, or nobody invited us under their wing to have it modeled, to talk through. I mean, here at RMC, you have marriage mentoring. It is real. Some of you folks have gone through it, and I think you were blessed by it. It might seem like a trivial book to begin with, but it covers the hot topics of every single marriage. And if a mature couple talks to you about it, man, you can really build your marriage. That's why we have it here. It is a blessing to so many. I think we have figured out that through marriage mentoring, since the Bossarts started it here 7-8 years ago, over 200 couples have completed the course. Wow, that's a beautiful thing. Wanting it to change so that people would know that we love one another. So what's your mindset? And what do you love? I don't know about you. I love God's word. I love in life being able to say, oh, wow, only God could do that. Oh, yeah, and he does it. I had a brother that just passed away recently, and it's from, again, our family is very fractured. It's part of the family that wouldn't talk to other parts of the family, including me. I'm Mr. Goody Two Shoes. And, I got on a plane and I went to the funeral. All right, God, what's going to happen, I'm just going to leave it at your feet. Fasting and praying. And what God did, I can actually leave that family now, and they're calling me Uncle Rich now and stuff like that. And thank you, Lord. The walls are coming down. They understand life is about Christ, yearning for that to take place. To be able to have that love for God. If I say I love God, here's what I would do. At the end of every day, I would sit on the edge of my bed and I said, God, did you know I loved you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength today? And I would recount in my mind the things that I had done that day. Some of them I had to repent of. Dumb guy. But I wanted him to experience my love in return. I experience his love here, don't you? I wanted him to experience my love in return. Then it doubled. Did my wife know that I loved her today? What was the evidence of that? The activities, the mindset, the attitudes that came out of my life for her to be wonderfully blessed as my wife. so that she could see him striving to love her as Christ loved the church. One soul. Turn to Philippians 1, if you would. The next thing I began doing is I began praying God's scripture for myself. Turn to Philippians 1. Notice what it says. Starting in verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Ah, so my soul is really sinking into the depth of this relationship with my God, that you may approve all the things that are excellent. Ah, right choices, that you may be sincere without hypocrisy and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I said, oh, Lord, I need that for me. That's what I yearn to grow. That's how I want my life to change. And so I began praying it for myself. This is how I would do it. Lord, I yearn for your love to abound even more and more in my life. I yearn to grow more in the knowledge of who you are in your heart for me. I want to have spiritual discernment in all circumstances, that you would approve the things that I do, that they would be excellent, that they would reveal Christ's likeness, that I would be sincere without hypocrisy, without offense the day I meet you. I want to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which only come by Jesus Christ and the power of your Spirit in my life. I'd pray that. And guess what I went on to do? Next date, I began praying it over my wife. Paul prayed this for the folks in Philippi. And then we began talking, how do we do this? How do we abound more in this? How will it grow in our personal relationships? Those little dates away, yeah, we would have one a month that was fun, fun, fun. And one a month that we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about our home and the intentionality of it being Christ-centered, what it will look like, how it will grow, and how it has to change from me. I'm going to give you a little test. I'm going to force you out of your comfort zone. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to do it. If your spouse is here with you, pray over your spouse. Guys, I'd prefer you led first, right where you're sitting. Just pray that verse over your spouse. I pray that you would. And if you're here without your spouse, pray it for yourself, that you grow that way. All right? Give you 5 minutes. Do it. I want to share with you some of the changes that happened within the Bailey family. Not only were we striving to have a deep-seated relationship with Christ, but our example began to change. Our commitments became very consistent. We developed this mantra within our home that a promise is a promise. We were going to do that. We're going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and a promise is a promise. If I promise to do something, I'm going to do the very, very best. It have to be a God thing to not allow the promise to come true. It became such a mantra within our home that one of our daughters ended up being valedictorian of her public school, and that's what she entitled her speech at the end of the year at the graduation. A promise is a promise. And she hit all the teachers in her life. And you promised to give me a great education. You did that. You know, you promised me a safe place to get an education. You did that. And so thanked everybody, staff and everybody. And then she goes, but the greatest promise I've ever received is from Jesus Christ and went into the gospel. There were some groans and moans, but they allowed her to do that, and she did it. But a promise is a promise. And what happened with Diane and I rather than just being strangers married, we started to become best friends. And I can tell you today, I'm married to my very best friend. We have so much fun in life, even though we're in a different season of life than we were back in our 30s and 40s. It is so good. And we can bounce anything off one another. We have things. And what we did is also, we went from the dates to where we started planning just the two of us getaways, whether it's for a weekend or whatever, where we would leave the kiddos someplace and we would get away for a weekend. And listen, I'm cheap. I bought a tent, made her start tenting, you know. Motels get a little pricey, and I did an air mattress for her, but, you know, but we were going to go. I didn't have a lot of money. What can I say? But we were going to have that time alone. Not just for spiritual things, but just to get to know each other better intimately and things like that. And you're going camping, intimate. But yeah, so it was fun. So, but we did these things. And, you know, later on it was, you know, a weekend away, you know, at a hotel that was doing a special or something, you know, and things like that. But wanting to do that so that we knew that we were really giving our souls to Christ. You know, John 17 says this, and I've got to hurry. I've got 7 minutes. When Christ is praying for us, he says this to the Father. He says, Lord, I pray for these alone, but also for those who would believe on me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So our oneness, our soul relationship, loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, our soul, is to bring that unity with Christ within our home, within our marriage, so that people see, gosh, we're one with God. He dictates what I do most of the time. I mess up, you know, she messes up. But wanting to have that centric thing, Christ is the center of my marriage. It's built on this. I want people to know that's all about Christ in my life. You know, people watching us. I love that you shared that last night. I'm walking through a store, a grocery store, and it's Christmas. It's like almost Christmas Eve, and place is packed, and I do strange things. I utilize the same cashier if I can. I want to try to create some kind of connection and things like that. And so I'm in her row, and I get up there, and I go, man, this is the amazing race. You're going so crazy. And she goes, oh, tell me about it. I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. She goes, it certainly is an amazing race. And I go, yeah, it's not. It's not. I have to agree with you. She goes, do you know that song? And I go, yes. Will you sing it for me? Now, I'm like, Eric, but what am I going to do? And I started singing Amazing Grace. And she just stood back and she looked at me. And I've got everybody in the grocery store looking at me. I'm singing out loud. All of a sudden, a couple of people came up and began singing with me. Who are we outside of our house walls? Who are we outside of these church walls matters. People are watching. They care about who we are and what we do. Last but not least, it's one strength. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, Ephesians 3, and I'm so glad that Rob and Jenna didn't jump into it, but this particular prayer, he goes, Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole family of heaven and earth, his name, that he would grant you, here's what you pray for, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in his love, in love with one another, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, height, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the Spirit of God. And then verses 20 and 21, which have been shared over and over again, now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all who ask or think, according to the power that works in us, the living word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, to him be glory in the church of Christ to all generations forever and ever. Man, you ought to want to impact future generations. I know that there's at least one couple in here that had to endure Rich Bailey premarital counseling, but I have fun with that because I can get them to really see, well, I have these expectations. Well, I have these expectations. You better do my expectation. No, you better do. I love doing that. And to be able to get them communicating. Communication becomes the issue. Wanting it to be seen. This also becomes goals of service. This began to change Rich Bailey and how much I helped around the house. Because I saw my wife had need for kids. One thing I would not do, I would not fold underwear. Mine, they're all the same. Hers aren't. I'm not going to do that. You can fold your own. But vacuuming, helping with dishes and things like that. And, you know, we had four kids, so we had dishwasher. We didn't go out and buy one. We had four kids. We already had dishwasher. Do it for the glory of God. What? It's your turn to wash and my turn to dry and do it for the glory. Yeah. Do it with excellence for him. Yeah, that's what it's all about, and teaching our children responsibilities. You know, but help around the house, training children with the responsibility, keeping expectations communicated. Throughout the seasons of life, your expectations in your marriage will change. And if you do not communicate them, how are they going to know? I have to admit, the first 10 years of my life, I thought my wife thought I was a mind reader. There's no way I could tell what she was thinking. There's no way she could tell what I was thinking. But somehow we had this thought, it was working out, and it wasn't. And so at communication, keep expectations. Home has to be the first and highest priority to serve the Lord. I'm convinced of that. So many families get jump into church. You fell into that. We fell into that. Home is the first best place to serve the Lord. Learning how to serve one another. He came and gave his life as a ransom for many so that we could serve one another. And again, this impacts the bedroom, our intimacy. It does. It really does pave the way for better intimacy. It really does. I'm convinced of that. I experienced that. Diane knows I share this. I'm a hot-blooded 18-year-old. She's an 18-year-old. We get married. What I did not know is that my wife was sexually abused when she was 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe 10, by a cousin. It directly impacted our life. It did. And it wasn't until Christ and where we could start communicating that things could be changed to where we could talk through things, you know, and having these goals of ministering to one another and serving one another. Colossians 1:9 is another one of those great prayers. I'd encourage your read these, pray these. You know, I do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of inheritance of the saints in the light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And all of God's people said, all right, I'm going to close with this passage. Turn to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, please. And I think this sums up this whole time. 1 Peter 1, starting with verse 22, it says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God that lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man is a flower of grass, and grass withers and a flower falls away, but the word of God endures forever. Now this is the word by the which the gospel is preached to you. That is it. We have a sovereign God. We have a spirit given to us. You know? And we can live it this way, even though our life might be a vapor, for his glory and his glory alone. Guys, I want to end with this challenge with you. 1 Peter 3:7 is the most challenging verse in the Bible for me in my marriage. It says, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. That word understanding in the Greek is a huge word. It means I need to understand everything in Diane's life that impacts her heart, her mind, her soul, her strength. That means I have to understand her emotions, what she's doing mentally, spiritually, and physically. And throughout the seasons of life, all of that changes. But yet, communication, wanting to dwell with my wife there, recognizing she is the weaker vessel, honoring her as an heir of grace together in the body of Christ. You know why? So that my prayers will not be hindered. God tacks that on to the end of that verse. And I don't know about you guys, but this man, I yearn for a vibrant prayer life, an effective prayer life. And unless I am committed to live with my wife that way, dwell with her with understanding, my prayers will be pitifully weak. God, in his infinite mercy and grace and humor, 8 years ago, my wife had a brain damage happen, and he gave me a different wife. Her emotions changed. Her strengths totally changed. How she thought in some areas changed. Even her look at God changed in the beginning because she blamed God for what happened to her physically. I had to start all brand new, if you will, living with my wife with understanding. Understanding where she is now because of the season of life that God allowed in her life for me to be the man of God that she needs. So that our home can be a Christ-centered home, and so that our ministry can be a Christ-centered ministry. Will you put up my last slide, please, again? See that Colossians 3, 1 through 17? I love giving homework. It starts out, if your mind is set on things above, if that's where your treasure is really going to be. It also has within it, put on the bond of perfection, which is love, completion. I want you to read through there, and it's got put off and put on. I'd love for you to do it as a couple. and be honest with one another. What do I have to put on? What do I have to put on about yourself? And talk about a plan of how you can cause it to happen in your walk with God. Let's stand and pray. Our Father and our God, I thank you so much for these folks. Lord, you do great and mighty things. When we submit to who you are, and we become intentional, committed, consistent, to live out, to allow ourselves to be transformed, to walk in that truth, Lord, you do great and mighty things. Father, how I pray that each couple here, no matter how strong their marriage is today, that they would make even a deeper commitment to have a deeper soul relationship with you, to walk in love. Lord, if there are couples here that are hurting, Lord, I pray that they would have the courage. I'm going to invite Rob and Jenna and John and Summer to be up here. That they would have the courage to come up and say, pray for us. And have a commitment, a singular commitment. This is what we want to accomplish in our marriage. Would you give them the courage to do that? Father, they can do it right where they're sitting or standing. I know that. But asking for help, asking for accountability is an encouraging thing within a marriage. Diane and I had to ask for it time and time and time again. I did after Diane got sick because I was confused. And you put men in my way that I could go to, and I rejoice. Father, meet every need of every heart here through your riches and glory. And Father, I pray the decisions made here this weekend would radically bring fulfilling, joy-filled marriages for your glory and your glory alone. For it's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.